A Vindication of Gospel Truths Opened, Part 1, by John Bunyan. This sermon was created with an artificial voice for the audiobook initiative on Sermon Audio. There may be mispronunciations or occasional repetitions. To report a mistake, please email us at info@sermonaudio.com and include the sermon ID or title of the message and the time at which the error occurs. We will do our best to get it corrected for future listeners. A Vindication of Gospel Truths Opened According to the Scriptures, and the Opposition Made Against It by Edward Burrell, a professed Quaker but proved an enemy to the truth, examined and confuted by the Word of God, and also the things that were then laid down and declared to the world by me, are a second time borne witness to, according to truth, with the answer of Edward Burrell to the queries then laid down in my book Reproved, and also a plain answer to his queries given in simplicity of soul, and is now also presented to the world, or who else may read or hear them. To the end, if God will, that truth may be discovered thereby. I have found David, a man after mine own heart, saith God, Acts 13:22. Of this man's seed hath God according to his promise raised unto Israel a Savior. Jesus, saith the Apostle, verse 23, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre, verse 29, but God raised him from the dead, verse 30, and we declare unto you glad tidings how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. Verse 32-33. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Verse 38. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Verse 39. To the reader. Since it hath pleased the Lord to work in my soul by his Holy Spirit, and hath translated me in some measure from darkness to light, I have seen and heard that such things have been done by those who did once pretend themselves to be the servants of Jesus Christ, that it hath made me marvel, partly while I have beheld the vile conversation of some, and also the seeming legal holiness of others, together with their damnable doctrine, which have, notwithstanding their professions, made shipwreck of the faith both to themselves and their followers. I, having had some insight into such things as these, was provoked to publish a small treatise touching the fundamentals of religion, supposing that God might add his blessing thereto, both for the establishing of some and the convincing of others, which things I doubt not but they have been accomplished, and will be still more and more. But as it was in former days, so it is now. That is, some in all former ages have been on foot in the world, ready to oppose the truth, so it is now. There are certain men newly started up in our days, called Quakers, who have set themselves against the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and do in very deed deny that salvation was then obtained by him, when he did hang on the cross without Jerusalem's gates. Now these men do pretend that they do verily and truly profess the Lord Jesus Christ. But when it comes to the trial, and their principles be thoroughly weighed, the best that they do is to take one truth and corrupt it, that they may thereby fight more stoutly against another. As for instance, first, they will own that salvation was obtained by Christ. This is truth, that salvation was obtained by Christ. But come close to the thing, and you will find that they corrupt the word, and only mean thus much, that salvation is wrought out by Christ as he is within. And by it, though not warranted by the Scripture, they will fight against the truth, namely, that salvation was obtained for sinners by the man that did hang on the cross on Mount Calvary, between two thieves called Jesus Christ. I say, by what he did then for sinners in his own person or body, which he took from the Virgin Mary, according to the Word of God. Second, they will own the doctrine of Christ within, This is truth, that Christ is within his saints. But this doctrine they will take to fight against the doctrine of Christ without ascended from his disciples into heaven, by whom salvation was obtained. Neither is there salvation in any other. Third, they will want the resurrection of the saints, but their meaning is only thus much, that the saints are raised from the state of nature to a state of grace. And herewith they will fight against this truth, namely, the resurrection of the bodies of saints out of their graves, into which they were laid some thousands, some hundreds of years before. And if they do say, they do own the resurrection of the saints out of their graves, they so mean out of the grave of sin only, and nothing else. Fourth, they will say, they do own the second coming of Christ to judge the world, but search them to the bottom, and you will find them only to own him in his coming in spirit, within in opposition to the glorious coming of the Lord Jesus, the Son of Mary, from heaven in the clouds, with all his mighty angels, to raise the dead and bring them to judgment according to the Scripture. And so for the intercession of Christ and the truths of the gospel, they only own them to be within, in opposition to the glorious intercession and mediation of the man Christ Jesus in his own person, without, now in the presence of his Father, between us and him, pleading and making intercession for his children. These things, together with many more, I might mention, but now I forbear, knowing the none shall be lost, nor altogether carried away by them, nor any heretics, but the sons of perdition. Now that they might the better make their doctrine take place in the hearers, they endeavor to make a fair show in the flesh, that thereby they now, as did their fathers in time past, compel and constrain them, who are not by the Lord's right hand planted into the truth of Jesus, to follow their covered errors, as it is written. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, that is, according to works of the law, do by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And indeed it doth clearly appear that those that are carried away are such as are not able to discern between fair speeches declared by heretics and sound doctrine declared by the simple-hearted servants of Jesus. First, now I shall lay down several grounds, not only why errors are broached in the world, but also why so many are carried away with them. One ground, why so many errors do from time to time come into the world, is because those that are not indeed of the planting of the Lord's right hand might be rooted out. Now these are many times carried away by deceivable doctrines, and truly in this our God hath both a care of his own glory and of his church's welfare. For first, should they not be swept away by some heresy or other, there might be great dishonor brought to his name by their continuing among his people. And secondly, that he might take away such grievances as such may bring, had they continued still in the society of his children. 2. Another ground, why the Lord doth suffer such errors to come into the world is, because those that are Christians indeed might be approved and appear. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest. Should not the Lord go this way to work, sometimes there would be many that would make people believe that they are Christians, and yet are not. And again, that he might make it appear that though there be heretics, yet he hath a people, enabled by his Spirit, to contradict and oppose them, and plead to the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and his glorious gospel against them. 3. Another ground, why the Lord doth suffer, yea, even send delusions among the people, is that those who were so idle and slothful as not to seek after the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity might be taken away and violently possessed with error, and be made to run greedily after the same, that they might smart the more for their neglect of the truth. For always those who were lazy in seeking after the truth when it was proffered, and afterward hasty after the doctrine of devils, when that is declared to them, shall be sure to have their latter behavior to rise up in judgment against them. in that when the truth was proffered to them, they were idle and did not receive it. And yet when delusion did proffer itself, they were industrious and laboring. Now mark, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Because they received not the truth and the love of it, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they might believe a lie and be damned, second now in the second place. Why so many are so easily carried away with errors in this day, the grounds are these that follow. 1. Because men counted enough to be professors of the truth, without seeking to be possessors of the same. Now because men are but only professors of the truth, not having it in their hearts in reality, they are carried away with an error, if it come in never so little power, more that the truth they profess. And this is the reason why so many are carried away with the errors that are broached in these days, because they have not indeed received the Lord Jesus by the revelation of the Spirit and with power, but by the relation of others only. And so, having no other witness to set them down withal, but the history of the Word and the relation of others concerning the truth contained therein, though the knowledge of the truth this way shall abundantly aggravate their damnation, yet they having not had the Spirit of the Lord to confirm these things effectually unto them, they are carried away with delusions. 2. Another reason why so many are carried away with delusions is those differences that are among the children of God about smaller matter. O friends, how is the hand of the enemy strengthened by our carnality, while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos? Many a poor soul is carried away with delusion. And why so? They are not satisfied that this is the truth, because the children are a difference among themselves about some outward things. And again, it makes those that are not so desperately possessed with a spirit of delusion as are others, but are mere moral men, I say it makes them to say within themselves, and one to another, there are so many sects and judgments in the world that we cannot tell which way to take, and therefore you that have the Spirit, pray that these things may cease, lest you blush for your folly at the appearing of Jesus our Lord. 3. The pride, covetousness, and impiety of hypocrites and carnal professors are great stumbling blocks to the poor world, and the cause why many at this day do drink down so greedily a deluding doctrine, and especially if it come with a garment of pretended holiness. But as for these, they shall go to their place in their time, with the curse of the Almighty poured out upon them, for their casting of stumbling blocks before the simple by their loose conversation, if they do not hastily repent of their wickedness, and close in reality with our blessed Lord Jesus. 4. Another reason why delusions do so easily take place in the hearts of the ignorant is because those that pretend to be their teachers do behave themselves so basely among them. And indeed I may say of these, as our Lord said of the Pharisees in another case, all the blood of the ignorant, from the beginning of the world, shall be laid to the charge of this generation. They that pretend they are sent of the Lord, and come saying, Thus saith the Lord, we are the servants of the Lord, our commission is from the Lord by succession and the like. I say, these pretending themselves to be the preachers of truth, but are not, do by their loose conversation, render the doctrine of God and His Son Jesus Christ, by whom the saints are saved, contemptible, and do give the adversary mighty encouragement to cry out against the truths of our Lord Jesus Christ because of their wicked walking. Now shall not his soul be avenged on such a nation as this, who pretend to be teachers of the people in goodness, when, as for the most part of them, they are the men that at this day do so harden their hearers, such ill examples, that none goeth beyond them for impiety. As for example, would a parishioner learn to be proud? He or she need look no farther than to the priest, his wife, and family. for there is a notable pattern before them. Would the people learn to be wanton? They may also see a pattern among their teachers. Would they learn to be drunkards? They may also have that from some of their minister. For indeed they are ministers in this, to minister ill example to their congregations. Again, would the people learn to be covetous? They need but look to their minister, and they shall have a lively, or rather a deadly, resemblance set before them, in both riding and running after great benefices and parsonages by night and by day. Nay, they among themselves will scramble for the same. I have seen that so soon as a man hath but departed from his benefice, as he calls it, either by death or out of covetousness of a bidder, we have had one priest from this town, and another from that, so run for these tithe cocks and handfuls of barley, as if it were their proper trade and calling to hunt after the same. O wonderful impiety and ungodliness! Are you not ashamed of your doings? If you say no, it is perhaps because you are given over of God to a reprobate mind. Read Romans 1. Towards the end, as it was with them, so it is to be feared. It is with many of you who, knowing the judgments of God, that they who do such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have, as I may so say, pleasure also in them that do them. And now you that pretend to be the teachers of the people in verity and truth, though we know that some of you are not, is it a small thing with you to set them, you say, are your flock such an example as this? Were ever the Pharisees so profane, to whom Christ said, Ye vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Doth not the ground groan under you? Surely it will favor you no more than it favored your forerunners. Certainly the wrath of God lies heavy at your doors. It is but a very little while, and your recompense shall be upon your own head. And as for you that are indeed of God among them, though not of them, separate yourselves. Why should the righteous partake of the same plagues with the wicked? O ye children of the harlot, I cannot well tell how to have done with you. Your stain is so odious, and you are so senseless, as appears by your practices. But I shall at this time forbear, having in some measure discharged my conscience according to the truth against you, hoping if God do give me opportunity, and a fair call, that I shall say no more, only thus much. Be ashamed of your earthly mindedness, if you can, and be converted, or else you shall never be healed. Here might I also aggravate your sin by its several circumstances, but I shall rather forbear. Supposing that you may entertain wrong and harsh thoughts of me, though I have spoken the truth, therefore I shall at his time rather keep silence, and wish you to amend than to rake in your sores. For thereby would your stink go more abroad in the world. Therefore I say, forbear. And now to the reader, I beseech thee to have a care of thy soul, and look well to the welfare of it, and that you may do so. Have a care what doctrine it is that you're receivest. Be not contented until thou in deed and in truth, in the light of the Spirit of Christ, see thy sins washed away in the blood of that Lamb, who did offer up himself a ransom on the cross on Mount Calvary for the sins of thy soul and body, together with the rest of the saints of God. And let not the legal holiness of the one, nor the loose profane conversation of the other, beat thee of from pursuing after the truths of Jesus, as the truth is in Jesus, and so laid down in this my discourse. Neither let the plausibleness of the other beguile thy simple heart. And now to you that are carried away with the delusions at this day, roached in the world by the instruments of Satan, and that after a profession of the truth, I say to you, turn again. If you can peradventure, there may be hope, and that you may escape that wrath which justly you have deserved. But if you shall still refuse the Lord that speaks now from heaven in mercy to you, you shall not hereafter escape the Lord that in his own time will speak to you in his wrath and vex you in his sore displeasure. And now a few words to you that have indeed closed in with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, and they are these that follow. 1. Be of good cheer. All your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. 3. Know that though your Lord Jesus, who is in you by His Spirit, be absent from you touching His bodily presence, yet He is not forgetful of you, but is preparing a place for you. 4. Consider that He is also at His very present, in His very person in the presence of His Father now in the heavens, praying and making intercession for you, that you may be brought safe to glory. Father, I will, saith He, that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. 5. Know also that He hath overcome in His own person when He was in the world, devil, death, sin, hell, the curse of the law, the power of the grave, and all other evils in the body of His flesh for you. 6. Believe also that while you are in the world, all things shall fall out for your good at the end, whether they be temptations, doctrines of devils, workings of corruption, all things shall fall out for your good, who love our precious Lord Jesus. 7. Be assured that all your enemies shall very suddenly be under your feet, even Satan and all. 8. Consider that there shall no temptation befall you in the days of your pilgrimage, but God will enable you to bear it. Aye, and make a way also for you to escape the destroying danger of it. 9. When the time of your dissolution shall come, your Jesus will deal with you, as He did with blessed Lazarus. That is, He will send His angels to fetch your souls away to glory. 10. Believe also, and know assuredly, that at the last day He will also raise your bodies out of their graves, and make them also forever vessels of His glory compared with... 11. And lastly, consider that though now by the world and heretics you be counted as not worth the looking after, yet you have your day a-coming, when as the dives of this and all other ages would be glad if they might have but the least favor from you, one drop of cold water on the tip of your fingers. O you despised begging Lazaruses, as in Luke 16:24, for the world, for all their stoutness, must be forced to come to judgment before your Lord and you. This honor have all His saints. Now seeing that these things be so, I beseech you by those the mercies of God. 1. That you do give up your bodies, as hands, tongue, strength, health, wealth, and all that you have and are, to the service of God your God. 2. Let your moderation in everything be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. 3. Study to walk as like the Lord Jesus Christ as ever you can for your lives. 4. Let that you strive for be the faith of the gospel of your precious Lord Jesus. 6. Let your hearts be always in heaven, where our Lord Jesus is. 7. Forbear and forgive one another in love and with all your hearts, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. 8. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. 9. You are the salt of the earth. Have a care you lose not your savor. 10. Be forward to distribute to those that are in want, for this is well pleasing to your most glorious loving Father. 11. Learn all one of another the things that are good, for this is the command of God, and also commendable in saints. 12. And lastly, O brethren, consider what the Lord hath done for you. He hath bought you and paid for you with His blood, and He doth now also make it His business to pray for your safe conduct to glory. He hath delivered you from those that would have been your ruin, and hath promised to you everlasting life. Let the love of Christ constrain you. Let the love of God win upon your souls. What? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? Hold out, my brethren, Hold out, for you have but a little while to run. Hold fast unto the death, and Christ will give you a crown of life. Farewell, dear brethren. The mighty God of Jacob preserve and deliver you from every evil work. And all the days of our pilgrimage, let us pray one for another, that our God will count us worthy of this rich and glorious calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, to whom be glory now and ever. And now, reader, before I make an end of this discourse, I think it meet to let thee understand that though there hath been a book put forth by Edward Borrow in seeming opposition to that of mine called Some Gospel Truths Opened According to the Scripture, yet the substance of my discourse then published by me standeth uncontrolled by Scripture as from him or others. I do not say he doth not wrangle with them, but I say he doth not by any one plain Scripture contradict them. As for instance, 1. The first great thing that I do hold forth in that discourse is this, that that babe that was born of the Virgin Mary, and that at that time did give satisfaction for sin, was the very Christ of God, and not a type of anything afterward to be revealed for the obtaining redemption for sinners within them. Which thing my adversary can find no ground in Scripture to build an opposition upon, see his book, page 12. But is forced to confess it in word, though he do deny the very same in doctrine, see his book, page 29. At his sixth query, and page 26, where in answer to this question of mine, why did the man Christ hang on the cross on Mount Calvary? All the answer he gives is this, because they wickedly judged him to be a blasphemer, and as in their account saith he died as an evildoer. And his is all the ground he giveth. See his answer to my second query in this, my book, taken word for word as he laid them down. 2. The next thing I do prove in that book is that that light which everyone hath is not the Spirit of Christ. Because the Scripture saith some have it not, but Edward Borrow saith it is given to everyone, and he saith they have it within them too. In answer to my first question, though he hath no Scripture to confirm the same, as I have had to contradict it, see his book. 3. The next thing I prove is that Jesus Christ did fulfill the law in his own person without us for justification, and that his blood then shed hath washed away the sins of the children of God, as aforesaid. Which thing he would oppose, but finds no footing for his discourse. See his book, page 12, where he saith, the law is not fulfilled. Read the latter end of that page which is contrary to Scripture, which saith, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Another thing I prove in that book is that Christ is ascended into that heaven without, above the clouds and stars, and that I prove by 8 several Scripture demonstration, of which not one is confuted by Scripture, though secretly in his book smitten against. Read his whole book. 4. The next thing I prove is that the same Jesus that was born of Mary, laid in the manger, who is the Savior, is at this day making intercession in that body he then took of Mary, which thing also is not confuted by him by the Scripture, though cunningly smitten against in his discourse, where he saith, it is only necessary to salvation to preach Christ within, laying aside all that Christ did when he was in his own person in the world. See page 29 of his book, question 6. 5. Another truth I prove is that the very same Jesus that was born of Mary, that very man that was also hanged on the cross, will come the second time, and that shall be to save his children, and to judge the world at the last day, that great day of judgment. And though they will not own that he shall so come as he went away, which was a very man without, yet they could not at all by the Scripture contradict it. But the very sum of his discourses is a wrangling with the thing laid down, as a dog with a bone. but hath not, nor cannot by Scripture overcome the same. This have I written, that the reader into whose hand this book may come, may have the more certain information concerning the things before published by me, and also concerning the opposition made against them by the adversary. And here, because I am loath to be too tedious, I do conclude and desire thy prayers to God for me, if thou be a Christian, that I may not only be preserved to the end in the faith of Jesus, cut that God would enable me to be an earnest contender for the same, even to the last. And rest, the servant of the Lord Jesus, John Bunyan. A Vindication of Gospel Truths, etc. It is very expedient that there should be heresies amongst us, that thereby those which are indeed of the truth might be made manifest, and also that the doctrine of God and His Son Jesus Christ might the more cast forth its luster and glory. For the truth is of that nature that the more it is opposed, the more glory it appears in, and the more the adversary objects against it, the more it will clear itself, which doth give me and all that stand for it, and doth plead on its side in the wisdom of the Spirit, much boldness and encouragement to venture without any slavish fear upon those that have already or shall hereafter stand up to oppose it. I did some few weeks past put forth a small book called Some Gospel Truths Opened and so forth, and the thing I looked for from them was, namely, opposition from the adversary, which hath been accomplished in that, namely, as I did look for it, so did it happen. Not that it daunted me, for if it had so done, it might have made me kept those truths within my breast, which are now made manifest by me as well as others to the world. Now I have not only met with some opposition from others face to face in secret, but there is one Edward Burrow, as I heard his name is so, by some of themselves, that hath ventured to stand up against the truth with the rest of his companions, and hath published a book called The True Faith of the Gospel of Peace Contended For, etc., in which book of his there is a very great number of heresies cunningly vented by him, and also many things there falsely reported of me, which things in this my discourse I shall very plainly discover. And the way that I shall take shall be by laying down some of thy expressions, and also some of mine, and by inquiring into the truth of one and the error of the other through the assistance of the Spirit of Christ and according to the Scriptures. Only, by the way, I think good to mind thee of thy clothing thyself with the words of the prophets and apostles, against whom thou dost fight, as will appear in my following discourse, and also of thy endeavoring to wrest the sword out of the hands of the saints, and art fighting against them bitterly with a parcel of scolding expressions. But I wish thee to learn, if thou canst, to be sober, and to keep under thy unruly spirit, and do not so much appear, at least not so grossly, a railing rabshake. But contrariwise, if you would be looked upon to be holy, which we know and believe that as yet many of you are not, let at the least some appearance of moderation be manifest among you, after many words that are flung into the wind by thee, my adversary, in the first and second page of thy book, thou cost not be contented therewith, as being too few to vent thyself withal, but thou breakest out in page 3 with a small testimony of John Burton and his fellow, saying, they have joined themselves with the broken army of Magog, and have showed themselves in the defense of the dragon against the Lamb in the day of war betwixt them. When, alas, poor soul, we do know, and are bold to declare, in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Son of Mary, that our God hath owned us, with others of his servants, in his own work against the devil's devices and false doctrine, as instruments both for the comforting and establishing of his own, and also for the convincing and converting of some of them, who aforetime was not converted. And friend, why dost thou say that we join with Magog in the defense of the dragon against the Lamb, when thou seest the whole drift both of my brother's epistle and also of my writing is to exalt and advance the firstborn of Mary? the Lord of glory, and to hold on his side, notwithstanding there are so many tempests go through the world, and the rather because we know that it is he, and he alone, that did bear our sins in his own body on the tree. For it is he that hath taken away the sins of the world. Now I say therefore, do not thou thus accuse the brethren for speaking good of the name of Jesus. Lest thou be troubled at thy end for thus spending thy beginning in taking part with the devil to accuse God's children. Then in the same page thou sayest, thou hast numbered up part of our work, and the sum is a corrupted grain of Babylon's treasure, etc. Answer, friend, the sum of our discourse is of the birth, righteousness, death, blood, resurrection, ascension, intercession, and second coming of the Son of Mary the Virgin, by which righteousness, blood, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and intercession we are saved. And dost thou count this a corrupted grain of Babylon's treasure? Have a care what thou sayest, lest thou utter that with thy mouth now, which will lie heavy on thy conscience forever. Then, as though this thy unwise speaking were too little, thou breakest out with a taunt or a jeer, saying, a larger portion, and more to the purpose, might have been brought in, but with such as you had or could procure from your neighbors are you come. Answer, friend, who hath despised the day of small things? But again, we desire not to bring to others, no, nor to know ourselves, anything else but Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, and him crucified for our sins. Then thou sayest further in the same page, that though thou hast not seen our faces, yet our spirit is tried, and we are clearly described to thee, sayest thou, to be of the stock of Ishmael, and of the seed of Cain, whose line reacheth to the murdering priests, etc. Answer, friend, thou art very censorious, and utterest many words without knowledge. We bless God for the most part of our line. We do labor to stretch it out, either in building up and exhorting the saints of the Most High to cleave close to their Jesus, or else as much as in us lies, we labor to convince poor souls of their lost condition, according to the word of God, and not to murder any. Nay, contrariwise, we desire through grace, if at any time we chance to see any of Christ's lambs in the teeth of any wolf or bear, be they never so terrible in appearance. I say we desire, we labor, we strive, and lay out ourselves, if it be possible, to recover the same, though with the hazard of our lives, or whatsoever may befall us in doing our duty. And whereas thou sayest in the fourth page, that we are found enemies to Christ, revealed in his saints. Answer, thou dost us wrong, for we labor all that we may to countenance the same, where he doth indeed appear. And if at any time we do see or discern that any soul hath any breathing after the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are so far from disowning or discountenancing of the same, that we give them all the encouragement we may. Nay, and we are so far from discountenancing the doctrine of God and his Son Jesus Christ that we say plainly, some have not the Spirit of Christ in them, and they are reprobates according to that scripture. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And again, some are sensual, having not the Spirit. And again, we are so far from being against the doctrine of the Spirit of Christ and his saints, we bless God that we say, it is the distinguishing character of a true believer. From others, all which things do I also affirm in my book, and hold forth, as doth also my brother in his epistle. Therefore I marvel that you should be overseen, as to utter so many false things together, in less than four sides of paper. I wonder what will be the end of your discourse. Well, now thou dost come and fall a wrangling with some of the words of my brother Burton, which are to this purpose, he speaking before of the doctrine of Jesus. And this is quite contrary, saith he, to those commonly called fabulists, ranters, Quakers, and others, who on the other hand either deny Christ to be a real man without them, blasphemously fancying him to be only God manifest in their flesh, or else make his human nature with the fullness of the Godhead in it to be but a type of God to be manifested in the saints. Now, first of all, the great offense thou takest of some of these words is, because he doth join in his discourse familists, ranters, and Quakers together. Friend, what harm is it to join a dog and a wolf together? A fawning dog and a wolf in sheep's clothing. They differ a little in outward appearance, but they can both agree to worry Christ's lambs. But again, friend, let us a little compare the principles of a ranter and a Quaker together, and it will clearly appear that in many of their principles, at least they agree, or jump in one, as 1. The ranters will own Christ no otherwise than only within, and this is also the principle of the Quakers, they will not own Christ without them. 2. The ranters, they cry down all teaching, but the teaching within. And so do the Quakers witness thousands and yet condemn their principles by their practice, as the ranters also did and do. Now the apostle saith the contrary, saying, He that knoweth God heareth us, meaning himself with the rest of the apostles and servants of Christ. He that is not of God heareth not us. Again, 3. The ranters are neither for the ordinance of baptism with water, nor breaking of bread. And are not you the same? 4. The ranters would profess that they were without sin. And how far short of his opinion are the Quakers? 5. The ranters would not own the resurrection of the bodies of the saints after they were laid in the graves. And how say you? Do you believe that the very bodies of the saints, as the very body of Abraham and the body of Isaac, with the bodies of all the saints, notwithstanding some of them, have been in the graves thousands of years? Others, hundreds, some less. I say, do you believe the resurrection of these very bodies again, which were buried so long since? Or do you hold, as the ranters do, nothing but the resurrection from a sinful to an holy state in this life? And really I tell thee, reader, plainly, that for the generality, the very opinions that are held at this day by the Quakers are the same that long ago were held by the ranters. Only the ranters had made them threadbare at an alehouse, and the Quakers have set a new gloss upon them again, by an outward legal holiness or righteousness. But again, why should you be so angry with my brother for joining of a sinner and a liar together? Is there any great harm in that? Surely no. And the joining ranters and Quakers together is but so. The Quakers themselves confess the ranters are to be disowned, page 4. Nay, if they would not, yet God hath disowned them in the open view of the nations. Now that the Quakers are liars, I shall prove from their own mouth, as first from the several things that I did oppose even now, page 1-4 of this book, called The True Faith of the Gospel of Peace, etc. Now, lest they should be slighted and set at naught, I shall show you clearly this man's lies manifestly laid down in his book, page 1112, that I said positively, the blood of Christ was shed before the world began, whereas I said only this, that in the account of God, mark it, in the account of God, his blood was shed before the world was, according to that scripture. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, in my book, page 3. Secondly, he saith, that I cry aloud against Christ within, in page 24, of his book. And again he saith, that all my work is an obscure shooting against the manifestation of Christ within, where he speaks very falsely of me, for I confess and own God's Christ within as well as without, as appears in my book, page 206 towards the end. And in the epistle to my book you may find the same held out by me for 2 or 3 leaves together. Besides, many other places of my book doth testify of the same. Therefore, doth not he lie miserably in this also? Again he saith, that I am one of those that do preach for hire, through covetousness, making merchandise of souls, page 23, of book, which is also an untruth, as I shall show further when I come to the place. Again he saith in page 30, that I said Christ's coming in the Spirit was no coming. Here also he uttereth falsehood. I never said so, as many or our brethren can witness. But of his also in its place, when I come to it, with many other things which he hath very untruly vented of me, which I fear not but they shall be cleared, both now and also at the second appearance of the man Christ Jesus. And therefore, friend, I say to thee, be not so pharisaical as to say within thine heart, I am not as this publican. Why am I reckoned with the ranters? Thou art, both thou and thy fellows, of the same mind with them in many things, and shall assuredly partake of the same plague with them, if they and you repent not speedily. Again in page 7, thou wouldest make us believe that the Quakers do really and truly lay the Christ of God, God-man, for their foundation, saying, we prize the Lord Jesus Christ, God-man, to be precious to us and to all that do believe and have owned him to be the foundation, etc. Now, friend, this is fairly spoken, but by word in general we may be deceived, because a man may speak one thing with his mouth and mean another thing in his heart. Especially it is so with those that use to utter themselves doubtfully. Therefore we will a little inquire what it is to lay Christ, God-man, for a foundation. 1. Then to lay God's Christ, God-man, for a foundation is to believe that man that was born of the Virgin Mary to be the Savior. How he was and is the Savior, and therefore if you do indeed lay him for your foundation, then you do believe that when the man Christ did hang on the cross on Mount Calvary, that then your sins were satisfied for at that time, as it is written, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. 2. If the Christ of God, God-man, be indeed your foundation, then you do believe that that very man in that very body did fulfill all the law in the point of justification, as it is written, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So that now believe aright in what the Son of Mary hath done without on the cross, and be saved. 3. If you have laid Christ, that man, aright for your foundation, then you do believe that when he was raised out of the sepulchre into which Joseph had laid him, then at that time was accomplished your justification. How say you to these things? Do you make an open profession of them without dissembling? Or do you not, notwithstanding your talk of Christ, in very deed deny the virtue of the death and blood of Christ without, as for justification and life? If so, you have not laid him for your foundation. 4. If you have indeed laid Christ, God-man, for your foundation, then you do lay the hope of your felicity and joy on this, that the Son of Mary is now absent from his children in his person and humanity, making intercession for them and for thee, in the presence of his Father. And the reason that thou canst rejoice hereat is, because thou hast not only heard of it with thine ear only, but dost enjoy the sweet hope and faith of them in thy heart, which hope and faith is begotten by the Spirit of Christ, which Spirit dwelleth in thee, if thou be a believer, and showeth those things to thee to be the only things. And God having shown thee these things, thus without thee by the Spirit that dwelleth in thee, thou hast mighty encouragement to hope for the glory that shall be revealed at the coming again of the man Christ Jesus, of which glory thou hast also greater ground to hope for a share in, because that Spirit that alone is able to discover to thee the truth of these things is given to thee of God. As the first fruits of that glory which is hereafter to be revealed, being obtained for thee by the man Christ Jesus' death on Mount Calvary, and by his blood that was shed there, together with his resurrection from the dead, out of the grave where they had laid him, Also thou believest that he is gone away from thee in the same body which was hanged on the cross, to take possession of that glory which thou, through his obedience, shall at his the very same man's return from heaven the second time, have bestowed upon thee, having all this while prepared and preserved it for thee, as he saith himself, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Again. 5. If thou hast laid Christ, God-man, for thy foundation, though thou hast the Spirit of this man Christ within thee, yet thou dost not look that justification should be wrought out for thee by that Spirit of Christ that dwelleth within thee. For thou knowest that salvation is already obtained for thee by the man Christ Jesus without thee, and is witnessed to thee by his Spirit which dwelleth within thee. And thus much doth this man Christ Jesus testify unto us, where he saith he shall glorify me, mark, he shall glorify, saith the Son of Mary, but how? Why, he shall receive of mine what I have done, and am doing in the presence of the Father, and shall show it unto you. I have been a little the larger in this, because it is of weight. But again thou sayest further, the rest of this first epistle I shall say little to. Only thus much is the mind of the penman's spirit, secretly smiting at the doctrine of true faith and salvation, to wit, Christ within. Answer, my friend, by saying that my brother doth strike at the doctrine of true faith and salvation, thou dost him a great deal of wrong. For it is so far from him so to do, that he telleth souls plainly, that without true faith in the blood of the Son of Mary, who was crucified on Mount Calvary, there is no remission. For saith he, it is only through that one offering then given up to the Father that you must be justified. And that is according to the whole stream of Scripture, for by one offering, what was that? Why, the offering up of the body of Jesus once for all, he hath perfected for ever them that are sanctified. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, for ever sat down. Mark it, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, for ever sat down on the right hand of God. And as for thy saying, that salvation is Christ within, if thou mean in opposition to Christ without, instead of pleading for Christ, thou wilt plead against him. For Christ, God-man, without on the cross, did bring in salvation for sinners. And the right believing of thee doth justify the soul. Therefore Christ within, of the Spirit of him who did give himself a ransom, doth not work out justification for the soul in the soul, but doth lead the soul out of itself, and out of that that can be done within itself, to look for salvation in that man that is now absent from his saints on earth. Why so? For because it knoweth that there is salvation in none other, and therefore I would wish thee to have a care what thou dost. For I tell thee that man who is now jeered by some because he is preached to be without them will very suddenly come the second time to the great overthrow of those who have spoken and shall still speak against him. Thou sayest also the next thing thou mindest is this in the second epistle, where a question's asked, who are the men that at this day are so deluded by the Quakers and other pernicious doctrines? But they that counted it enough to be talkers of the gospel, etc. And why? Because he saith the Quakers are those deceivers that at this day beguile poor souls by their doctrine. Alas, poor man, why shouldest thou be angry for my speaking the truth, in saying, the Quakers are deceivers, this will easily appear. 1. They deny the man Christ to be without them, and own Christ no otherwise, but as he is within, contrary to that Scripture, which saith, for while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. This is touching his bodily presence. And again, he was parted from them, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And he was carried away from them, and so received up into heave. Now he that denieth this is a deceiver, as is clear in that he doth speak against the truth laid down in the Scripture. 2. The Quakers are deceivers, in that they persuade souls that Christ is crucified in them, dead within them, and kept down with something within them, which was never taught by those that spoke the Scripture from the Spirit of God. Show me a Scripture to confirm such a doctrine as this, which hath been avouched over and over by the Quakers. 3. The Quakers are deceivers, because they do persuade souls that man that was born of the Virgin Mary is not above the clouds and the stair, when the Scripture saith, a cloud received him out of the sight of his saints. And again, that he is above the highest heavens, which must needs be above the stars, for they are not the highest. 4. The Quakers are deceivers, because they persuade souls not to believe that man that was crucified and rose again flesh and bones shall so come again, that very man, in the clouds of heaven to judgment as he went away, and at the very same time shall raise up all the men and women out of their graves, and cause them to come to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Because there will he, that very man, sit to judge all the heathen round about. I say, they strive to beat souls off from believing this, though it be the truth of God witnessed by the Scripture. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come, Mark, the very same, in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And his feet shall stand in that day, the day of his second coming, upon the Mount of Olives. Where is that? Not within thee, but that which is without Jerusalem, before it on the east side. I say now, he that persuades souls not to believe this, but makes them believe there is no such thing, as the Quakers do, he is a deceiver. Again, the Quakers make no difference between that light wherewith Christ, as he is God, hath enlightened all. And the Spirit of Christ he gives not to all. And the Spirit of Christ he gives not to all, which I shall show by and by to be a deceit. 5. The Quakers are deceivers, because they say that everyone hath that which is like the Spirit of Christ, even as good as the Spirit of Christ, page 10 of his book, which is desperate blasphemy. The Scripture saith plainly that some are sensual, having not the Spirit. And yet, though they have not that, they have, says the Quakers, that which is as good as that. O wonderful deceit, as I shall farther show by and by when I come to the place. But to cover himself, and so his deceit, he doth apply that to himself that should be applied for the encouragement of the children of God, saying, the children of God was always counted deceivers. We, saith he, have a cloud of witnesses. Answer, friend, they were called deceivers, and were not so. But you are rightly called so, as I have already showed, and shall show farther by and by. In the meantime, know that the devil knows how to take children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Then the next thing that he is grieved with is because I said, there are none but a company of light notionists, ranters, with here and there a legalist that was shaking in their principles, that were carried away by the Quakers, etc. When this appears in all men's sight that can see, though you would not have it so it is like, and as for your saying, because all sorts of people are brought to God, I am offended therewith, I answer, no, friend, I bless God my soul can rejoice that souls come in to Jesus Christ, though it grieves me to see how some with a spirit of delusion are deceived and destroyed by its coming unto them as an angel of light. And whereas thou sayest, I am like the Pharisees, who said, none believe but a company of poor people, which know not the law. Answer, I bless God, I do know they are, I bless God, I do know they are the poor that receive the gospel. But friend, I must tell you, that you and your fellows may seek for justification from the law, and yet have no better a recompense than to be condemned by the law. End of A Vindication of Gospel Truths Opened, Part 1.